We pray. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Many skeptics down through the ages, and still today, have raised a common objection, a common excuse for their unbelief. It sounds something like this. If the miracles of the Bible are true, why don't we see the same kind of miracles today? If God really has supernatural power, why doesn't He show it to us? They want from God what the Jewish leaders demanded from Jesus after He had done a number of miracles already. They said, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." Apparently those miracles weren't enough. Likewise today, the Bible and its record of many incredible miracles, these are said to be not good enough. And yet, here it is, this Bible we have, so full of incredible things from cover to cover. If we go to the very beginning, we find in Genesis, God doing the miracle of creation. If we jump to the end of things, we find a miracle yet to be. Really, a series of miracles we will see. Jesus coming back in all His glory with the angels in the sky. Jesus instantly raising the dead, which could include all of us. Jesus judging what's in people's hearts. And then separating believers from unbelievers. Taking the believers to heaven, casting unbelievers to hell. Destroying this current earth and replacing it with a new creation. That truly sounds incredible. The miraculous promise to us on the last day. What about the Bible's miracles in between? What's at the beginning and what's at the end? We don't really have the time to get into any of them in detail. We could talk a few hours about the flood or the confusion of languages at the Tower of Babel or the plagues, the Passover miracle, the parting of the Red Sea. These miraculous events, by the way, moved along God's plan of salvation as He wanted. What about Elijah calling down the fire of God at Mount Carmel? Or what we heard in the sermon yesterday, Elisha healing the leprosy of Naaman. These miracles were to be a sign from God. A sign telling people, listen to this prophet, he represents me. And he speaks truth that he got from me. Let's focus on New Testament times and the miracles of Christ, which operate the same way, but on a much higher level. These miracles of Jesus were signs of who he was, where he came from, why he was here. Even in the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament, the Bible talks this way. The Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In reference to the first miracle done in Galilee, Scripture says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. Today, we read about the signs. We hear about the miracles, and only by the grace of God do we have the same response as the disciples did and not as the skeptics. In fact, we depend on those miracles of the past. Without them, we're lost. We need the miracle of the virgin birth to give us a Savior who is both God and man. We need the miracle of that sinless infant becoming the sinless man who kept all the commandments and made it count as our perfect righteousness with God. We need the miracle of His crucifixion. God as man dying for all of our sins and making them all go away as far as God is concerned. We need that clincher miracle of His resurrection. What Jesus described as the only sign given to those who demand a sign. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We're not done with miracles, by the way. We also depend on God's miracles today, done today. We need the miracle of infant baptism, for example. God working as promised through water and the Word to wash away sins and create faith in the baby's heart. It's a miracle when that bread and wine of the Lord's Supper come to us and we also receive His body and blood, the same body and blood that paid for all of our sins and death. It's a miracle inside the heart, a miracle of the Holy Spirit no less, when the unbelieving skeptic is finally led to give up his objections, repent of all his sins, and trust in Jesus as his real God and Savior. The exact same miracle that happens in us every day, preserving that same faith from one day to the next. As for that objection, why don't we see Bible-sized miracles today? I don't have a complete answer for that. It does seem, though, that God has followed a definite pattern here. When getting the world ready for the Savior to come, when preparing Israel for the coming Messiah, He did the miraculous to get things situated onto the next step and doing things in a way that He foretold ahead of time. When Jesus came as that Savior, He did the miraculous as the sign of His identity, His power over everything, His victory over sin, death, and the devil, and as a sign of truth for us too. When the Bible was finished, when that miracle of verbal inspiration was completed, God had essentially taken these awesome things, miracles of the past, bundled them up, and given them to you as His gospel. His power to save and to reveal Himself as the God of grace in Christ. Well, does that put you in a tough spot? Are you somehow at a disadvantage because you don't see what Peter and John did in the same way? We can't say that. Not when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Faith comes by hearing. Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. This Bible, this Word from God, is good enough as is. It needs no improvement. It's true enough to convince you of what it claims and what it offers. It's strong enough with the Spirit's power to preserve your faith in Christ. It's reliable enough to bring you and me to that day when we do see the Lord as promised. And we experience in the body the miracle of heavenly glory. Amen. There is an announcement afterward. We close today singing hymn 134, stanzas 2 and 3. Stanzas 2 and 3 of 134.